around this time of year of Iva's birthday, July 2nd, to remind everybody what the Lord did for her and what the Lord did for us around the time she was born when she was so close to dying. And I have it in print and DVD if y'all want another copy or if you haven't ever seen it or heard it before. But as I had testified a few years ago, several times actually, that there were three witnesses, I called them, I don't know what else to call them, to the fact that God was telling me, don't fear. He didn't say she was going to get better, he just said, don't fear. Well, I didn't think about it till recently, there were also three what I call death witnesses. Three different medical professionals that had witnessed us that she's dying. The first, Northeast Georgia, gave her up and said there's no more we can do for her. She's not responding to our treatment. That was witness number one. So they sent her to Eggleston. The EMT or whatever you call them in the ambulance on the way down testified that she almost died two times en route. That was the second witness. The third was when we got down there, that doctor told us, your baby's dying. So I had three witnesses saying she's dying. The Lord told me three times, don't fear. The choice was still mine. It was set in my lap. Decide, faith or fear, which one to decide. Well, we sided with faith. And we said, we're going to believe. Though in my mind, I was still kind of thinking he was preparing me for her to die because he just said, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. I still thought she's probably going to die. Well, we kept trusting God and kept believing. And then there was, at that time when I received that third witness of faith, there was a time where I was... There was nothing really, I'd say, let me say it like this. It was a very supernatural thing, probably the most supernatural occurrence I've ever had in my life, but no sensation. There was no apparent change with her. She was still laying there dying. It was a half a day later when she started to come back and turn around. So, you know, it was such a supernatural thing, yet we didn't see any apparent change for a while, but we just kept on praying and believing. Brother Luis Wednesday night talked about perceiving God. And when you have a perception as a revelation of what is reality with God, that everything's okay. Right. And that's when I realized that God is there. Up until that time, I said, Lord, where are you at? I don't know why this is happening. I don't know where you're at during all this. He was there. He was, like Sister Regina says, he was all up in there. He was in there the whole time, and I didn't see him working until right there at the end. When I saw it, it turned our upside down world right side up again. And then it was half a day later when we left the service here that we got word that she's getting better and she never had to have that surgery. And by the grace of God, she's here today. I wrote something about meditation. I just want y'all to pick this up on the way out on your right, if y'all get a chance, if you get the time to read it. It's called "Can Anything Good Come Out of Kentucky?" It's not really a testimony. It's more like an exhortation. I call it just about prayer and meditation. Thinking about the word that's being preached. Thinking about trials you go through in life and how much God is there. Right. If y'all get time to read it, thank y'all. God bless you.
Let's stand. We thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Let's see. From this morning, remember Sister Angie Brown had an unspoken request, and still remember Sister Johnny going through her surgery, back and forth, whatever it may be. So just be with Sister Johnny and all the other ones we're praying for. Susan gave me one, says, thank you for everyone that helped Wednesday night getting our keys out of our truck. So we thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, they've been, of course, Wade, I'm sure, will be going over this, but a lot of people's asked, Saturday service starts at 6, and then Sundays will be at 10 this upcoming week, so just remember that. Remember the services and when you need to be there and all that, so just keep that on your mind. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are maybe traveling today, Lord, wherever they may be. I know Brother Bob and Sister Brother Louise and many other ones may be traveling. Lord, you be with them and guide them. Be with Sister Angie Brown's request, and thank you for helping Brother Donnie and him on Wednesday. And Lord, remember Sister Johnny, continue blessing him, and Sister Jean and Sister, Lord, all the ones that we pray for, Brother Al and Sister Anna and Brother Collie and Brother Darty, Lord. Sister Gail, Lord, just come down and bless them all. Brother Mark, continue blessing him also, Lord. Be with us and guide us the rest of the service. Be with Wade, give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. Appreciate that testimony. Amen. And what we need sometimes is just a closer walk. Let's sing 124. Amen. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Glory. Daily walking close to thee. Is that your prayer this afternoon? Thank you, Lord Jesus. A closer walk. Thank you, Father. Amen. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? He's up there. He's in it. Thank the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Father. None but thee. Glory. Oh, yes, and just a closer walk with thee. Make that your prayer. Oh, and grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life, when my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore, with all your heart. Oh, and just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea, and daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. I am weak, but thou art strong. How true is that? But Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long. As I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Oh, that's such my desire. Thank You, Lord. And just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Oh Lord, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Kern, if you don't mind helping us out, brother. Brother Kern, if you don't mind helping us, brother, appreciate it. Amen. Just a closer walk. Amen. I like that, brother. So God is all up in there. Amen. Praise Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. We've been spending time with the kids on talking about love and our devotions at home and looking deeply into that agape love. You know, and that's all in 1 Corinthians 13. And you read it, you may want to start pointing the fingers to others and saying, who don't love, who's not giving love. But if you keep reading it, it starts coming back. It endures. It bears all things. It doesn't hold any wrong. It doesn't keep a record. It's like, oh Lord, help me. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Let's stand. Let me walk. Let me walk, blessed Lord, through the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh yes, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh yes, keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my glory. Hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love. Oh yes, fill my way every glory. Thank You, Lord. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song. Hallelujah. Oh, fill my way with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home. sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day. Oh yes, glory. Oh yes, and fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day. Amen. Just the musicians. Glory. Amen. Everybody, feel my way. Oh, and I feel my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day. Amen, Sister Frida. Amen. And Brother Paul, if y'all want to come up, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. And I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by that shield of love, and I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains, they were made there just for me, for all of my sin, all my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do, where there is a healing and a cleansing stream that still flows, with a peace that only His redeemed can ever know. I claim blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains, they were made there just for me, for all of my sin, all my sickness, and all my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Will you sing it with me? I claim the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me, for all of my sin, all my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains.
Can I say something? I had planned a totally different song to sing, and on the way to church this morning, Toots said, you know, Freda, I don't know what's going on, but for two whole weeks, I'll just be sitting there and nothing particularly thinking about anything. And she said, the words just come, I claim the blood. Amen. And she said, it's just happened continually. So.
Amen. We claim the blood. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing Mercy. Brother Paul, you're going to play? Playing? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to sing Mercy Rewrote My Life, 629. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that mercy. Amen. Anytime I think, read, sing this song, you can just go down memory lane of what the Lord has done, which shows you what he will continue to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Let's stand as we sing that. Oh, God's mercy, what did it do? Rewrote my life. Oh, mercy, rewrote my life. And I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. I will praise the Lord.
No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord.
With all your heart, amen. Get ready for the word.
Oh, and I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, I will praise.
I will love the Lord. Amen. I'm going to love him.
Amen. Oh, and I will love the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will love the Lord.
I will praise the Lord, and our brother can come on out on that.
I will praise the Lord. I will praise. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store,
I sing it again.
Will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sing it to him.
You couldn't hardly lift your hands. That song comes to mind. I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like what Jesus told, or John told him. He said, now, if you don't start praising the Lord, said, I'm going to raise the rocks up. I'll get the rocks to do the crying out. So, but I think we've got a voice in this end time that knows how to praise the Lord.
Amen.
That knows how to gain access to our Lord Jesus Christ, our lover.
Amen.
The one that we love more than anything in the world. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here today. Good to have another service. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Just remember Brother Bob, he's probably back on his way now, and if I know him, he's listening in on the way. So he's live streaming in on the way down, but he will be preaching Wednesday night. Just remember him. Brother Luis will be traveling from Beaufort today. So I caught a little bit of his service on Facebook. He's having a good time preaching down there. He's preaching to a Hispanic church in Spanish, and then they're interpreting it in English for the ones that, so it's doing a little bit backwards. So, but he had a good time. So they're having, service now. So just remember that. Also remember, we'll talk about this afternoon after the second service is over, about the July 3rd and 4th meeting. There are brochures at the back door. They've been back there for a couple of weeks. As you go out the door, of what times and the address. So that's been back there for a few weeks, all right? Also, July the 24th on Saturday, that will be our first youth meeting back again. We will be doing games. We'll be doing questions and answers. We'll be a couple of brothers, Brother Luis, myself, and I think Brother Bob will be speaking on that Saturday. And then we'll start back with our youth Sunday. On that Sunday there, we'll let the youth conduct all the service like we used to do before. And just remember also to keep in your heart and your prayers that Brother Andrew Glover on September the 25th and the 26th, which will be our next youth meeting here at the church, he will be doing it September the 25th and the 26th. So we appreciate Brother Andrew. He's been here about a year ago. He was here. So also remember there'll be no Bible study this coming Saturday night because we will be down there at the service. And the communion, we'll wait till the next Sunday and have communion the second Sunday in July. Man, we're in July. Goodness gracious. And one more announcement. Yeah, time's flying. The Bethel Tabernacle Youth Camp that we put up Wednesday night. Remember, those of you that are going, you need to register in the morning at 9 o'clock. Start pressing the button at 9 o'clock in the morning. Ages 13 and above. And it will be in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And it's a really pretty, we showed it last Sunday, or last Wednesday, a really pretty place there in Travelers Rest. Cost is $189 per person. That's not bad for 4 days of feeding kids and taking care of them. So the church will be taking up that cost for you. So you just register and go ahead and pay for it online. And then we'll reimburse you. Brother John Andes and Brother Burley Williams will be speaking that weekend. So we would love for everybody to attend, and we appreciate Brother Dale for allowing us to be able to do that. He's always been youth oriented and he's also been mission oriented, so we appreciate that. Amen. So now if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews 9. We're going to take just a, I want to take a moment today and talk about a prophet, because once we get into this eternal plan of redemption, we know one thing's for sure, prophets are very important. And we know that everybody sitting in this building, as far as I know, believes that God sent us a prophet, and his name is William Branham in the end time. But I want to maybe go through some of the, in the Bible, maybe some are looking online, but it just impressed on me to do this today. So we're going to read Hebrews 9, and then we're going to read Amos 3 and 7. Because God said he'll do nothing.
Right.
Nothing. In other words, dead silent, unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And that's the only way we're going to get it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us, the hour that we're living in. It's a precious time, Lord. We wouldn't want to be in any other age. This would be the one, Lord, that would get us out of here, take a change of body, Lord, and go to meet you, Father, in the air, and Lord, ever to be with you. Father, we pray that you would bless each one. Forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick that's not here, the ones that are traveling. We've got some youth that have went up to Brother Josh Bennett's. We pray that you'd be with them as they return. They're on their way back, Father. And we pray to be with Brother Bob, Brother Luis, the different ones, Lord, that are traveling. That you'll bring them back safely and here at home, Lord, in their houses, and bring them back safely here to church, Father. We pray that you'd just be with the ones, Lord, that are overseas. We know there's many that are still in lockdown. There's many that are still suffering from this virus, and we pray, Lord, that you would comfort each one, be with the ones that, Lord, don't know you. The ones that don't know you, Lord, that's ones we're pushing, trying, Lord, our best to find that last one, Lord, so we can leave this place as the Gentile age will end as soon as we all get in. Father, we pray that you'd just do that for us, Lord, just hasten the day, Lord, that it won't be this world that we're trying to live in, but it'll be another world that we're going to, Father. And that's what we're trying to speak of today, Lord, to get us to another place. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would give us revelation. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now let's read Amos 3 and 7. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. Now he has to reveal his secret to his prophet, and then that prophet doesn't stay silent. I've never seen a prophet that was called on the earth and he never spoke a word.
Right.
No, they were sent to be a mouthpiece of God.
Right.
All right? And we'll see that in just a minute. So the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? And let's read Revelations 10:7, then you can be seated. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. Now there's that mystery. See, you go back up to Amos. He revealeth his secrets or his mystery to his servants, the prophets. Said the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we know that the great prophet that come was the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were talking this morning, that's where grace came. The Bible, even we talk about, I remember Brother Dale years and years and years ago preaching a message about where mercy and truth, that heaven and earth had kissed and mercy and truth had come together. Well, that was all in Jesus Christ. That never was in a prophet. Now, a prophet was used of God, but he was not God.
Right.
There was no prophet on this earth that was God himself except the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. So it doesn't matter how great it is, how great Moses was, how great each one. Even William Branham would live so close to God that people thought they were God, but they're not. You got to go back to the Bible where we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb. Because right here in Isaiah 7:14, this is what does away with all your prophets that think they are God. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That kind of pretty much does away with everybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Actually, it does do away with everybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we were not any of us born by virgin birth. All
right,
so that kind of does away with that. If you want to compartmentalize that, set that over to the side. There'll never be a prophet on the earth that is God, except God himself, Jesus Christ. And the only reason he came was to get it to where you and I could be in part of this eternal redemption, and he could come back in us and make us priests and kings. Make us, we could say we're little prophets, because Brother Ram said we'd be a prophetic people.
Right.
But now being a prophetic people, that means you have to hear from a prophet.
Right.
Because you can't just be a prophetic person in your own. I'll go back to Amos.
Right.
You can't circumvent. You can't go around the prophet. You got to listen to the prophet. Once you take what the prophet says, then you become prophetic. Because the Bible tells us, even the prophet tells us, that the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or be still. Well, now thus saith the Lord. Didn't Brother Branham say thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord? But now remember, we got to continue on a little bit further where Brother Branham said, the Bible doesn't say thus saith the Lord. It says you say. You say to this mountain, you say to this mountain, be moved. You say, I need this, and you say, I need that. Sister Hattie Wright, that ain't nothing but the truth. That was real simple. Then Isaiah 53 verse 8 continues to prove that he gave his soul a ransom. If you want to put it up there, I want to try to go through this real quick. But he gave his soul a ransom, and you and I can't do that. We've got to go back to the part in Job where he says, I see man alive, I see man die, I don't see man no more. But remember, all Christianity is based on resurrection. Even Job knew that he was going to be resurrected. Isaiah would know that he's going to be resurrected, but there was no one that could give your soul an offering for sin, because listen, you were born sinful. Jesus Christ was not born sinful. His soul never was sinful. His soul was that Genesis 1:26 man we were talking about in its entirety, in the headship, in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But that includes you and I in that. You and I are included in that Genesis 1:26. It's just we're not all of it. Where he's all of it, we're part of it. Everybody got that? Say amen. We're part of it. We're part of that Genesis 1:26, man. Therefore, we can't be judged. Therefore, if his soul went to hell to make an offering for sin so he could see his seed, where was his seed? His seed wasn't in hell.
Right.
His seed wasn't on earth at the time. You heard me? At the time of his death, his seed wasn't on the earth. He had to die to release the spoken word. I am the resurrection and the life. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me when he come out of the grave. What power did he get? He got the power to bring me and you into being. He had the power to release that Genesis 1:26 man that he had spoke, like I said this morning, by grace. It's already been set up. So it can't fail. But it's not like you put them in a tube, like we said, and it's not like predestination as well. I can't help it. This is just the way I am. Now, to me, that's foolish.
Right.
Even in life, you don't need to say that.
Right.
Well, I was born this I mean, come on. You can make it in this world.
Right.
Without God, you can't make it much, but you still can make your own choice. And do the right thing. Amen? But he gave his soul an offering for sin. You and I can't do that.
Right.
My soul's not an offering. My soul was given to me by that offering.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Amen? When he come and give me the new birth, he saw his seed, and my soul then became his soul.
Amen?
Not two souls.
Right.
That's what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. I don't know where they get all these twos at. One God,
right.
And Jesus Christ is his name. One bride, and Jesus Christ is her name.
Right.
Not a second person. Now, we are not a second person. We're the person of God in another form called a bride.
Glory.
So Isaiah 53 says, he gives his soul an offering for sin so he could see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then we know in John 1:11, said, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, listen, all those prophets in the Old Testament, even Moses said, God will send a prophet likened unto me.
Right.
So there was a call for this man, this Messiah, to come and save Israel.
Yeah.
Not mention Gentiles. Oh, they might come in here or there, but it was mentioned in the Old Testament that God was going to send a prophet that was going to deliver them. And as I read where Brother Branham and many people have preached on it, but they literally believed that when this Messiah was to come, that he was just going to stand up in the temple and the Romans was just going to fall over backwards. Because they had been, but now listen, they had been put under so much persecution and pressure and slavery, but it wasn't because of the Messiah, it was because of what they did. You're put under slavery because of what you do.
Right.
You were born wrong, but you don't have to stay born wrong.
Right.
Like I said before, we need to leave our first nativity, our first birth, and find Bethlehem, the house of God's bread, and find our new nativity, because that's where our new nativity was born. He was born in the city of David. And we got to go back to that and get born again. And receive that soul that I was talking about. That was that Genesis 1:26 man that imparted himself out on the day of Pentecost. But I like verse 12. It gives us an out. We don't have to be Jews. But as many as received him,
right,
to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, your first nativity. Nor of the will of man, but of God. And that word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace.
Amen.
And truth. Let's look at Jeremiah 3:8. And we see where Israel backslid and committed adultery, and God had to put them away and give them a bill of divorcement. Now remember, he didn't forget them. But he was going to have to, like Brother Dale said, if you caught that this morning, see, foolish virgin, all, even Israel, they can never be bride.
Right.
Only bride can be bride.
Right.
And you can't be a second bride.
Right.
There's that number two again. You can't be a second bride.
Right.
You got to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And he put Israel away. Now he's not going to forget her because of grace. Because of grace that he stood in the Old Testament on all those prophets' shoulders and they prophesied of him. But remember when he got here, Jesus told him, said, prophet this, prophet this, prophet that. Y'all the ones that put him in the grave.
Right.
And you're doing me the same way, in other words. Well, now he told him that, and he said they're going to do you the same way. So see, they literally buried all the prophets by what? By the religious order. So Brother Branham was not literally buried, but his message was buried by the denominational world in the New Testament. And all the other prophets, even Paul, all the different ones. Well, Paul's okay because Paul was way back yonder. You put a prophet in their face, it's real close and you got a problem. But now, yeah, Paul and Irene, all them, yeah, they're back yonder. But look, Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In other words, the last one's got to come in. We've got to finish this Gentile age in this part of redemption. You and I must get out of the way so he can complete that plan of redemption to the Jews. And guess what they're going to get? Two prophets.
Right.
You see where God, the continuity of God is, he sent us a prophet, he sent us Gentile prophets, he sent us the last prophet we'll talk about in a minute, but he also has not finished sending prophets, he's fixing to send two of them over to Israel, and they're gonna literally destroy this world with their voice, with their mouth, with their words, with their message that they preach. They're gonna call fire down, the Bible says, anytime they wish. The world's going to see two prophets. The whole world is going to see God's power through two men. And those two men, though, are going to say, hey, you missed that prophet coming there. They actually missed two prophets. They missed Jesus Christ, and they missed William Branham. They missed two prophets on the way coming up, but that's why they're going to mourn and say, oh my, what are we going to do? We've missed it. God's going to destroy us. And through the two prophets, see, there comes your grace. Grace through two prophets is going to say, nope, you just listen to what we're saying. Stay where we're at. Stay with us and we'll get you out of here.
Right.
Amen. Because look, Israel loves prophets.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're waiting on right now. They're waiting on somebody that'll come over there and tell them. That's why that when we read Malachi 4, we read Malachi 4 knowing who those people are. They read Malachi 4. Because remember, they don't read anything else. Malachi 4 is their last book of their Bible.
Right.
They read Malachi 4 and it says, before the great and terrible day, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet.
Right.
That's why, even, and we'll read it in a minute, Matthew, when they were up on the mountain, they told Jesus, said, well, some say Elijah is supposed to come, the scribes. So what's a scribe? A scribe's the one that read the Bible to them. He'd print it, he'd read it to them. So he said, well, and Jesus said, well, Elias must first come and restore all things. We'll get to that in just a second. But the fullness of the Gentiles is now come to me and you. So all Israel, look, so all Israel, though, will be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And we know how that's going to happen. It's going to happen by the 70 weeks of Daniel. For this is my covenant, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. In other words, they don't think we got anything.
Right.
Like Brother Nell said about Ishmael and Isaac. Think about that. We take the Bible. We see that Isaac was the promised son. They twist it around. And even there's a sect here in the United States or a group of people that believe that Cain or Tubal Cain was the chosen one. Right?
Yeah.
Cain. See how Satan twists that thing around?
Oh, yeah.
He twists that thing around and says, oh, no, Ishmael. And also, I was hoping Brother Dale would tell. Remember, Abram stood one day and God said, you're going to have a son. Promised son.
Right.
And what's the first thing Abram does? He goes, oh, that Ishmael may walk before you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that Ishmael may be your son. And God's going, I'm going to have a long talk with that boy. I'm going to have to go out in a plane out here, and I'm going to have to put some flesh on me, and I'm going to have to go out here and eat a calf, and I'm going to have to explain to this guy that the Ishmael is not the one. He's going to be a problem or a thorn in your flesh from now till the end of time.
Exactly.
But thank God we got a wonderful ministry. See how all that just, everything just flows? It just flows back and forth, and we sure appreciate that. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Like I said, he will not forget Israel. Daniel 9, we're not going to read this. Everybody knows about Daniel 70 weeks. We know that there are 70 weeks are determined. Now, who is Daniel? Daniel's a prophet. He's one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. Because he actually Daniel, they consider Daniel, the book of Daniel, the book of, our book of Revelations. Of course, they don't believe that because nothing's in the New Testament. But the Jews and the ones that have the Torah and all the different Old Testament prophets, Daniel is the book of Revelations to the Jews. Because it tells how they get started, it tells their redemption, it tells where they're going, tells all these different things that they'll get 1260-day message, they'll get two prophets, they're going to get, you know, 3,000 and something days, and all these different 2,000 and something, they're going to get days, you see. So he tells them exactly what's going to happen in Daniel, where the book of Revelations tells us exactly where the Gentiles is going to begin and where the Gentiles is going to end. So the book of Daniel is the prophetic book of the Old Testament for the Jews. But they're going to do six things. Finish transgression, make an end of sins, reconciliation for iniquity. Listen, Jesus came to do that for them first. Because he promised that's what he was going to do first. Go to Israel. I'm coming to you. Oh, that I wish you wouldn't do what you were doing. Oh, that when David cried and when Jesus cried and said, I was a hen and I tried to gather you together and didn't want that. But in Daniel 9:24, it tells the whole plan of redemption for Israel. And then right here in verse 26, it says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? He was cut off for me and you. But there's that 1 week left that those prophets are going to prophesy, half of that week, and they're going to preach Jesus Christ. And what's that going to do? That's going to save 144,000 Jews. Not make them bride, but will save 144,000 Jews and put them in a rapture. And then they're coming back in the millennium for the millennial reign to be servants, but they're going to have to fulfill two scriptures. Number one, Ezekiel, they're going to have to build the temple, build the millennial temple. Amen. And then the Bible says that David will sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel during this millennium. So he's not judging us.
Right.
We're not judgeable. We've already got glorified bodies. Our stinking thinking's already left us.
Right.
But they are still going to have to come back and be in that millennium. Somebody's going to have to live 1,000 years. Somebody's going to have to show that the sin curse is over. Well, what is the sin curse? It's that greatest battle that was ever fought. It wasn't the sin curse that you was born from your mom and daddy. You have nothing to do with that. But you do have something to do with your later on when you come to the age of accountability. Then God says, now you got to do what you do. You've got a choice to make. So let's go now to Luke. And Jesus promised when he came, I'm trying to fly through this pretty good because I want to get to something here. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached. So God sent prophets all the way down through the Old Testament. And then remember from Malachi to Jesus, there was 400 years, there was no prophets.
Right, exactly.
It was a dry spot for Israel. In other words, when Jesus walked on the scene, they were looking for something because they hadn't had a word from a prophet in 400 years.
Right.
10 generations, they had not heard one thing from God. And then God steps on the scene, tells them who he is.
Right.
Says, I've come to get you. I've come to redeem you. I am the one that's born of the virgin. I am the one that's called Emmanuel. And they didn't believe a word he said.
Right.
But remember, he came to his own and his own received him not.
Right.
But as many as did believe on him. Listen, the Gentiles during Jesus' time or tenure on earth believed him more than the Jews did. Because the Gentile had the Syrophoenician, you had the woman Then you had the woman at the well. Then you had the woman, then you had the centurion. Every time God would meet somebody like that, they'd just believe.
Right.
He said, I find no greater faith in Israel. And then here stands Caiaphas and them wanting to kill him. And here stands the Gentiles going, why do you want to kill this guy? Even Pontius Pilate, a Gentile,
right,
a true heathen that didn't believe in no God at all, didn't believe that no Messiah was coming. He said, I find no fault in this man. A Gentile. I find no fault. I can't do this. I can't put him on the cross. You're going to have to put him on the cross. See, he throwed it back to the Jews to make them put him on the cross, and he just went ahead and did what they said. Isn't that what he's doing now?
Yep.
He come to the Gentiles now, though, and the Gentiles are rejecting him. And then the prophet of God had to preach, I indict this generation. What? For, in other words, putting Jesus back on the cross and crucifying him again. And the prophet said, and put him to an open shame. Where we see now in Revelation 3:14, he says, the only time Christ was left out of the church, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Right.
So in Luke 24, he says, preach his name among all nations. Now this is after Jesus has left, and this is the day of Pentecost. Well, this is Jesus prophesying about the day of Pentecost. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. What has always been the promise? Whenever you see promise in the Bible, what is that? A promise that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was going to come into a group of people, and God was going to live in people.
Right.
Remember Hebrews 11? He said, they without us shall not be made perfect. But if you look at the scripture before that, it says not receiving the promise. Now, boy, they received promises, though. But they didn't receive the promise. The promise is I am going to live in human flesh in a group of people on this earth, and I'm going to make sure that'll happen.
Right.
He said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued or empowered or, like I said before, to sink into with power from on high. Jesus had stood and saw many people. He probably stood, and being God Almighty, he stayed in the spiritual realm, and if you think about it, he's standing in the temple and he looks and sees Caiaphas getting ready to make an atonement, you know, do the sacrifice. And he sees that anointing fall onto that, on that Caiaphas, because he was anointed at least every year to go into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus was there for 30 something years. He spent a lot of it in the temple, and he saw that anointing come down on those people and knew that was a true anointing, and then it would leave. Then it would come down, then it would leave. It would come down, and then it would leave. All the different times. But he knew this right here. He said, I want you to be endued, not just anointed. I want you to be, to sink into, or clothed with, or arrayed in. And as we were talking before, this garment that they received on the day of Pentecost was white robes.
Yeah.
See, we don't have to wait to get white robes.
Right.
Our white robe is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you get your white robe now. Which the Bible says is what? The righteousness of the saints.
Right.
Everybody all right with that?
Amen.
So now Acts 2 verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. And it sat upon each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That fire just disappeared and went right down inside of them.
Right.
Amen. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And then, to make a long story short, what happened? Peter walks out on the day of Pentecost. He says, men and brethren, this is that.
Right.
And there were Parthians, Medes, it's in the scripture, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Asia, Pontus, Cappadocia. In other words, Gentiles. And God preached a message through Peter to these Gentiles, and they received the Holy Ghost and went into other countries spreading the gospel. And I believe in Acts 13 verse 46, we'll go right here and then we'll slow down for just a second. Paul finally was given the word. Every time he would give the word of God to a Jew, they would either want to stone him or kill him. So he says, lo, I've done enough with you people. Lo, I turn to the Gentiles.
Right.
And I will give the Gentiles, like Brother Dale said, Galatians,
yeah,
Ephesians, Corinthians. A lot of them weren't Jews. They were heathens.
Right.
Corinthians, remember, was they put up Jupiter and Astor and all these different things. And Paul was right in the middle of them trying to tell them, hey, You don't need to be doing that. So he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. The Lord commanded him to do that. So now let's start right here in Revelations 1, verse 13, where we were the last Sunday. This is the opening up. Jesus had died. He had been cut off. The promise had been made that he was going to come back on the day of Pentecost in a group of people. He was going to start a dispensation called the Gentile dispensation. Now remember, they had had prophets for up until Malachi. 400 years later, Jesus came on the scene. Well, literally, John came on the scene first as a prophet. Then he said, behold the Lamb of God. So then Jesus comes, the prophet, not a prophet, but the prophet, comes on the scene, and the prophet says the first thing. He says, hey, I'm coming back. On the day of Pentecost, he didn't say that, but you see, he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to send the Comforter in my name, and I'm going to do you with power from on high. In other words, I'm not going to be here to do the work. I'm going to be inside of you doing the work. And that's not, see, none of that in all of from now Adam, he was. Adam had the Holy Ghost in his soul. Eve had the Holy Ghost in her soul. But none of the others did.
Right.
It was an anointing.
Amen.
Even those prophets that are so great, even Moses that was so anointed until they had to look away from him and had to put a veil over his face because his face shined so bright, they still weren't the chosen of God to be the bride.
Right.
To be someone that would not be just anointed but would be endued with power from on high. God would go in them. You know, even the Bible tells John, he says, now, John, you watch. Because John the Baptist was a prophet too. John watched and he saw the same thing. He'd see the anointing go on Caiaphas, or the anointing would go on this one, or the anointing would go on that one. But what did the Holy Ghost tell John? He said, the one you see that the Holy Ghost remains. You see, you and I can be anointed and go to hell. By the true Holy Ghost. It took a prophet of God to tell us that. You know who he's talking to, though? He's talking to them Pentecostals at one time because, see, they think you got the Holy Ghost if you spoke in tongues. It didn't matter what kind of hound dog life you lived after that. As long as you spoke in tongues, you was okay. Well, he was trying to say, look, you can speak in tongues every day of your life and die and go to hell because John would see the Spirit come on people and not remain. It would have to leave. Listen, the Holy Ghost can't dwell in an unclean vessel. Dwell. Dwell me. Listen, I dwell in my house. Right? I'm going home to my house. I'm not going home to yours. Jesus dwells in individuals. And that's what John said. The Holy Spirit said, the one you see, that when that comes down like a dove and it never leaves, he said, that's the one. He said, that's me. And so there's an example of me and you. Because on your day of Pentecost, your day of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God didn't just anoint you with the Holy Ghost. He gave you a gift.
Right.
And God, not being an Indian giver, is going to give you a gift of the Holy Ghost and not take it back.
Right.
So it will not be just on top of you, it will dwell inside of you. And actually, that makes you become the mystery. That God can dwell inside of you and you still be a human being. You still have problems. You still have heartaches. You still have troubles. But God is so much inside of you more than any Old Testament prophet. All Old Testament prophets spoke of a time that there would be a promise. That God would not just dwell with man. He would dwell in man. And they everyone spoke of it in bits and pieces. And in allegories, as Brother Dale was saying this morning, in different things. But you and I are not an allegory. You and I are not a type. We're the actual thing that's happening.
Right.
Amen. We are what is going on. We are the promise made manifest in the end time.
Right.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. It took the Son of Man to bring grace. It took the Son of Man to die. It took the Son of Man to bring that life back. To dwell in me and you. With a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle up here. His head and his hair was white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass if it burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, his people. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Remember, he took his soul down there and went and picked all that up for us. Remember, he gave his soul a ransom. But in that he gave his soul a ransom, he could get himself out. You and I couldn't. He could get himself out. And when he come out, he brought the keys with him. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereto after. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. Now, what do we say an angel was? A messenger. All right, and we'll look at that in just a second. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Now, remember, it wasn't 7 little bitty churches, physical churches. It was 7 church ages. It was the ages that these churches that were born in. But the 7 stars were 7 men, individual men, that brought a message. Is that all right? They brought a message, a Gentile message. They didn't go to the Jews. Now, we know there's Jews been saved. But they went to the Gentiles because this is a Gentile age, not a Jewish age. Because remember, the Jews are at this moment, they are blinded by what you and I see. They're blinded by the message of this hour and every other hour that came since Paul. Now let's look at the Strong's Concordance. A star is a messenger, an envoy, one who is sent, an angel, a messenger from God. Now what is a prophet? A messenger from God. Amen? A prophet is a messenger from God. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. He's not God, he's a mouthpiece of God. And as somebody was saying, I believe it was Brother Ronnie, one of them said, listen, we heard the voice of God in this age. It was the voice and cadence of William Branham, but it was God speaking to me and you. Right. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us through a messenger, one that it was mute, one that we needed, because listen, there were many prophets that come up. But remember, many were false. False prophet. You say, oh, brother so-and-so's a prophet. Try him by the word. If he's not on the word, he's false. But now he could still be a prophet. Balaam was a prophet, but he was a false one. Caiaphas, all these different ones, they were prophets. And they were not, though, a prophet sent from God to a specific group of people. Paul was a prophet sent from God to a specific group of people. Irenaeus, Martin, all the different ones. That's why I want to drill that in your head. We needed a prophet. And listen, if Brother Branham wasn't the prophet, there's got to come one because God promised there'd be a 7th one. God promised in this church age that he'd send us a messenger. Let's read Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you, not your neighbor, you. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, many people say, well, that was John the Baptist. Well, the dreadful day of the Lord's not here. I mean, not that wasn't there in Jesus' age, because John was introducing the Messiah. He was that end of the church ages. He was that end of the Gentile age. You and I are on this end of the Gentile age to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. We know John the Baptist turned the heart of what? The Old Testament fathers to the New Testament babbling babes, the Pentecost. Amen? 80-30, Pentecost. And then when all that got lost and scattered through the church ages, God had to send another Elijah. Not another John, another Spirit of Elijah in a man named William Branham. and the heart of the children, them babbling babies, to the faith of the fathers that was once delivered to the saints there, according to Jude, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, see, when the Jews read this, you've heard me preach before, they know, they look for Elijah to come before the Messiah. If you go over and talk to any good Orthodox Jew, any good Jew that's over there that really believes in the Bible, the Torah, Elijah is going to have to come back before Jesus comes. Or, well, sorry, before their Messiah comes. That's why they read it right here. He's got to come before, or lest thou smite the earth with a curse, and he's got to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So when they have their shofar, or their sedar, or whatever it is, what's the first thing they do? They set down a cup for Elijah. They set down a chair for Elijah. They have their sedar, or their dinner. Am I saying that right? Sedar, I believe it is. Aaron, I'm looking at you, saying you're looking at me blank. Sedar. No, I don't know. But they have that dinner, and what's the thing they do? They set that there, and then when they're finished with their dinner, if Elijah doesn't show up, they walk out the door, they look down the street this way, they look down the street this way, and if they don't see a man coming, they go back in the house, and they pick that cup up, and they say their little whatever they say, and it means until next year, and they put the cup up on the mantle. Because they know that's why when the two prophets go to Israel, it has to be the spirit of Moses and Elijah because they're looking for Elijah. Right. They're going to get Moses as a bonus because they're not looking for Moses to come back. They're looking for Elijah to come back. Well, see, they know then, hey, the Messiah's coming. But what are those two prophets going to say? He's already come.
Right.
And you missed it.
Exactly right.
I sent 300. Let me just say, I sent 300 prophets. Kind of like the story of the guy that, you know, stuck on the roof. God sent him a helicopter, a boat, and all kind of things, you know, and he'd refused to get on there, and he's waiting on God to get him off. He said, I already sent you three things. Well, that's what God's going to say. Look, I sent you several hundred prophets, and 1,000 years I sent you, and 2,000 years of Gentiles, I sent you all this message, and you turned it down. That's why in Zechariah they say they're going to mourn and say, oh, we're lost. Can't be recoverable because we've turned God down. We actually killed the Messiah that we were looking for. But what through those two prophets, what are they going to get? Grace. Those two prophets are going to say, yes, that's what happened, but kind of reminds me of David. David should have been killed for what he did. But there was a prophet on the scene. That prophet said, David, you're the man. But I prayed for you. I prayed for you. The prophet, listen, this prophet prayed for us. Sure, he prayed for people, but he prayed. I know he prayed because you know why? Because I'm here. I know he prayed because you're here. He prayed for a group of people to catch what he was saying. Because in his later ministry, he knew they weren't understanding. Less and less and less people were understanding what he was saying. And how frustrating is that? The most powerful prophet, the most wonderful word that was ever sent since Jesus Christ. And they said, Brother Bram, can you have a prayer line? He graciously had a prayer line. Brother Bram, should we wear pantyhose or pajamas to bed? When he said, don't ask me nothing but what on the seals. And they asked him, can we wear pajamas to bed? And one was about the water baptism that he had preached for probably 40 years, preached on water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and it was somebody new. And you know what he done? He didn't say, well, bless God, I'm a prophet. Now I'm way up here, and I don't need to be answering these questions. No, he answered that question just like he would have answered any other question about anything going on. But that's what God sent. See, that's what God sent me and you. Through Malachi 4, God sent us a prophet. Let's go to Matthew 17, verse 10. It says, his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias, or Elijah, must first come? And Jesus answered and said to him, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, we know that later on, they perceived he was talking about John the Baptist, which he was the spirit of Elijah. But now listen, John the Baptist was not a restoring prophet.
Right.
He was an introducing prophet. Right. He introduced Jesus Christ. He didn't restore Jesus Christ. But now this prophet in the end time restored everything back to its original condition. John didn't do that. Remember, John took the Old Testament condition and brought them to a New Testament condition. Brother Branham took them from an old Pentecost, from a Pentecost, new Pentecostal work, took them back to the faith of the fathers and said, look, you've missed all this. Get back to what Paul said. Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. I'm telling you, folks, if William Branham's not that voice, God's got to send us somebody. And if he doesn't send him, you can go to judgment and say, you lied. No, you know what? People are going to do that. You know what God's going to say? No, you missed it. I sent him to you. I even put him in tape form. I'd never done it before. I put it in book form. I'd never done it before from one sermon to write on books. You understand what I mean? I sent you DVDs. I sent you MP3s. I sent you SD cards. I sent you the World Wide Web through the devil. God uses his technology. He said, but I sent you all that. All you got to do is press play. And you turn me down. Gave you more information. Listen, there's no prophet ever on the face of the earth ever was given to where you could hear every one of his sermons from beginning to end in clarity. You remember them old 8-inch reels? You'd hear the digital technology took every bit of that out. So you can clearly hear. What did Brother Brown say? No, you don't have to do that. Clearly you hear what he says. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now let me take you back to what Paul said, because remember, he was at the first. Brother Branham is the last, but take it back to the first. What was Paul said? Behold, I show you a mystery. That the Gentile, that the blindness of Israel is so you and I could come in. So now what you got here at the end time guy? And we know the mystery of God was all the seals and all the different things. But if we don't get that, that same mystery is that God's now in a Gentile bride, but he's fixing to send overseas. He's fixing to send it to the Jews. Amen. Paul, the mystery, Paul says, he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. But he said the mystery was that God blinded Israel so that you and I could come in. Now, what did Brother Ram do? He preached to blind the eyes of the Gentile people that will not listen to him. And guess what? Then their eyes are going to be open to that same message. I'm telling you, but I'm telling you again, if this messenger is not the Malachi 4 guy, we got to have somebody real quick. Because God cannot go to Israel without this seventh angel messenger to bring us and give us the mystery of God. Look, should be finished, not continued. Finished. In other words, Gentile finished. I hope you see something here, a little more, how important this prophet was. That everybody's claiming he's this and this and that and the other. I really don't care what they think. Spoken words, original seed. Brother Brown said, the messenger of Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. We are looking for him. We believe he will come. That is according to his word. It will be at the end time, which it is time now for to see it. He will be correctly dedicated to the word. Do you know that's what got most of those prophets killed? They told the people the truth. They told the people the word. Because see, remember, Balaam told them part of the truth.
Right.
He didn't tell them the whole truth. He couldn't do no more than what God told him, but he tricked the people into marrying and intermarrying. But this prophet is dedicated to the word. As they have always been indicated by God's word and vindicated, God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth, as he did Elijah, for his Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture.
Right.
Now, number two, we were on this the other day. I want to make sure we see this because a lot do not see that Brother Branham didn't come to just give us do's and don'ts,
right,
or to give us a new Bible. Or to just say, well, now you're not supposed, women, you're not supposed to cut your hair, you're not supposed to do anything. That's already been in the Bible.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
But what happened is false prophets said you don't have to listen to that anymore.
Right.
False prophets, even in Paul's time, he said grievous wolves, in other words, are already here tearing down what I'm telling you.
Right.
Even while he was still alive, he said, grievous wolves, some of you are going to tear this down, he said. Irenaeus, I'm sure he was revealed to him that, hey, somebody's going to start tearing this down because there's always been a false message along with the true. Brother Branham said, twins in every revival. They both can't be true. They both can't be false. One's got to be right. One's got to be wrong. Because we have seven stars. There's seven messengers bringing seven messages to a people to make your Gentile church. So number two is the Laodicean church age. This messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7. Notice he put Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 together.
Amen.
Is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4. So he takes Malachi 4. He will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Does everybody understand that? When Brother Ram came on the scene, it was babbling Pentecostal babies that just, and I don't say just, but the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost 1906,
right.
Azusa Street. They were babbling babies. They had gifts. They didn't know how to work them. They had, it was just a song and a prayer and three people get up and prophesy and four people get up and interpret. Okay, but as you've heard us preach here before, I don't want you to, and I was thinking about this the other day, remember there's eight manifestations of God, only seven church age messengers, we know that. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, 1906 Pentecost, as the messenger to the age,
right.
We know that.
Right.
But we got a seventh messenger that brought us a message.
Right.
Because Malachi 4 has two parts. Malachi 4 has a part. Revelation 10:7 has a part. Is everybody okay with this? Say amen. So number one, God had to send a prophet on the scene to go to the Pentecostal babbling babies and say, look, you need to get back to what Paul preached. They said, we preach what Paul preached. Everything? No, we don't want that. You know, remember you met that one group that says, well, days of miracles is past. He met another group that says, no apostles till after the apostles died. There's no more apostles. There's no more healing going on. Everything died with the apostles. The apostolic age is over with. That's what he meant. So what was he? He was that prophet to them to restore them back to the faith of the fathers, which was the day of Pentecost, A.D. 30, all the way up through the church ages. But what happened was Satan sent false prophets to erode the word of God and say, no, you don't have to do that. Because I want to ask you a question. Who told these people? And I'm looking at all of you today. Who told you you don't have to wear a dress?
Yeah.
Who told you that you can cut your hair? Women. Who told you you can wear makeup? Earrings. Whatever other junk you got on. Not God. And it didn't take a prophet to tell you that. But it did take a prophet to restore you back to that.
Right.
And we don't preach legalism here. Like Brother Dale said, you need to get born again. If you get born again, you won't do the stupid stuff you do.
Amen.
Sorry. But God didn't send Brother Branham here on the earth to just preach hair and dress. He sent us a message. According to Malachi 4, yes, he was sent to restore back the, not the gifts, the way to use them.
Right.
The gifts were never taken out of the church.
Right. Amen.
The word was never taken out of the church. Somebody got up in a pulpit and told you it was okay to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a prophet. It wasn't a God-sent prophet. So God had to send a God-sent prophet to get into the pulpit and tell you what the Bible already said. So that's restoring back the faith of the fathers. The old, the Pentecost back 1906, AD 30 Pentecost. Where they had the gifts in order, where they had the healing, where they had the speaking the word in the name of the Lord, where even somebody walked by in the shadow of one of the apostles and they got healed. There was not a denomination that you had to wade your way through. Now there was falsities, we know that, but there was not a Baptist on this corner and a Presbyterian to tell you this and a Methodist to tell you this and a whatever church, the church of your own personal will. That was mine for about 20 years. And that really, people are their own church. You get to talking to people. Come on, people. You get to talking to people. They get religious, number one, real quick. When they find out you're a preacher or you're a Christian. They quit cussing because they were cussing. They apologize. They say, well, I can't help it. You know, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. Gee, come on, people. Good grief. I did ask one time. I said, look, why is the things I used to do are the things you're doing now? Okay? Not you. I'm talking to this person. I said, the things I used to do, I do the same thing you were doing, you're doing now. And you're telling me you're a Christian, and I'm telling you I'm a Christian, and there's no want of me to do any of that inside of me. You've still got that want to do it inside of you, obviously, because it's coming out of your filthy mouth. Right? What's going on? Where are you coming from? I believe the Lord said he would take it out of me. Right? If you still got it in you, you need to get it took out of you.
Right.
We both can't be Christians and act different.
Right.
Sure, we have our little quirks and our inadequacies and all of our different things, but I'm talking about, I love that song, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Why? There's another person inside of you. And it's holy. I probably did have a ghost inside of me, but it wasn't holy at that time. Thank you. Right, Brother Boyd? I mean, really, we all got our testimony. But why in the world? Why are you saying this, Brother Wade? Because this is why we need a prophet.
Right.
A standard.
Yes,
that'll stand in the pulpit and tell the whole world.
Right.
That they're false. When he started bringing his message, they hated him. This man they loved and wanted him to, he couldn't rest. He had so many meetings. When he was healing the sick and breaking the bread and giving them their social programs, you know what I mean? God was meeting all their needs. But when he comes to this second part, two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Don't let that word bother you. It's part of the plan of redemption. But it's a higher order of your Christian walk. That's all it is. It's an order that man has not reached. Because listen, those Pentecostals that Brother Branham met, the babbling babies, some of them had the Holy Ghost. The true Holy Ghost. For their age. But they used it wrong. Right? Everybody got that? It wasn't that when Brother Branham came to preach to these people that they were all lost. No, they had the Holy Ghost for their time. But what was he doing? He was trying to turn them back Instead of the preacher saying, well, it's okay now, you can speak in tongues 4 or 5 times a service. Doesn't matter if the preacher even preaches. We're just going to shout the place down. Well, see, Brother Brown coming back, he said, no. Word first.
Right.
Word first. Let's get in the word. Branham Tabernacle, it's time for you to get in order. Didn't he say that one time? He said, I've allowed this to happen. Remember, he'd be preaching away and hear one stand up. Here two would stand up. Three would stand up. Speak in tongues. And then he would so graciously, he'd just stand there. Because he knew the interpretation was coming. Because being a prophet, he could see the anointing. He probably saw that light fall on that person before they even said it. Or before they even knew it. And he would just wait. You watch the tape. He never started preaching again until that second one came. If it was the right one, he would wait just a second. He'd keep waiting, keep waiting. Then he would get an interpretation. And then what would he do? He just kept right on preaching. He didn't rebuke them, but he finally said one day, he said, Branham Tabernacle, it's time to line up. And that's what he was coming to. He was trying to get them out of that first stage of sending Malachi to turn the hearts of the father, of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And then he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders and revelations, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Which, what is the seven seals? The total plan of this eternal redemption that I'm talking about.
Right.
The total plan to get this thing right, to get the memory, reason, conscious, affection working right.
Right.
It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers, exactly so.
Right, right.
He brought a message. Let me read this one right here and then we'll stop. Feast of the Trumpets. Now he's been revealed through the church ages. Now watch through the church ages as the Son of God. And I want to stop real quick right here. But what did John see in Revelations 1? He didn't see the Son of God. He saw the Son of Man with his arms stretched out, the midst, in the middle of the candlesticks, with his arms stretched out like this, had 7 stars in this hand, right? Girt about the paps, bride form. So the bride is going to be all through those church ages, bride form. But that was the Son of Man standing there. But what did the people preach? They made him the Son of God, the new birth, which is fine and dandy, but not so much growth development. Because who was the premier growth development guy? Headstone Man. The Headstone Man. Jesus Christ was the walking stature of a perfect man. And they were pieces missing down through the church ages. They were different things because brotherly kindness. Look at all these different ones. When Brother Brown even met the Pentecostals. You know, I mean, he said, what? A temper to fight a buzzsaw. Temperance. Temper to fight a buzzsaw and be Holy Ghost filled people. Now he's been revealed to the church ages. Now watch through the church ages as the Son of God. God being a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he revealed himself in the church ages as in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. We find in the Laodicean church age, the last church age, he's put out of the church. Nowhere else was he ever put out in any age but in the Laodicean age. So see, that's where we needed that, not a reformer. We needed a restorer.
Glory.
We needed a restoring prophet. We didn't need, I don't mean that wrong. We didn't, but our call was not for a reformation. Or a reforming prophet like Luther and Wesley was. We needed a restoration prophet, one that would turn us back, and then, as he said, literally turn us back to the faith of the fathers. He wasn't put out in any other age except the Laodicean church age. They said, we're rich and have need of nothing, and know it not that you're miserable, poor, naked, blind, and don't know it. He was put out of the church age. And then, according to Luke 17:30, he says, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So now you see now, John saw the Son of Man. We know that the Son of God was down through the 7 church ages. Now we got to see a Son of Man appear. We got to see God back in human flesh again in a group of people. Now we know it was in one man for Brother Branham for a time, but what was he doing? He was the mouthpiece of God. for me and you, not for him. He didn't come, he didn't do what he did for himself. He was the most unselfish man that ever lived. He gave his, he couldn't raise his family, stayed away from his wife for months at a time. It looked like he was 70 years old and he was only 56 when he passed. He gave that to get the message to a group of people. But he knew there would be a group that would take it. He knew there'd be a group that would live it. But he also knew that maybe they weren't getting it right there. But as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now he was reading from the same Genesis that we read, notice, at Sodom, what taking place. Now watch what we did in the days of Sodom. They received a sign. The sign of the son of sign of Jonas, that Brother Dale preached. It's the sign of the resurrection. That's where we'll stop right there. The musicians come. There's a resurrection sign. The prophet of God in the end time brought us a resurrection sign. Which was, remember, the Son of Man never, ever left a funeral procession and it continued to be a funeral procession.
Right.
Every time he got up to death, death had to yield.
Yep, right.
And like I said before, he didn't have to work it up. He knew who he was.
Amen. Right.
He knew who he was from the day he woke up. And I'll promise you too, let's stand to our feet. I'll promise you too, he had his bad days and his good days. The Bible said he learned by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, there was a part of him that was humanity. There was a part of him that when he looked, that there would be thoughts in his mind that he couldn't be able to control, but he was able to kick them out. Tempted in all points, as you are. So don't ever say, Jesus, you ain't never been through this. Lord, you never been through this part that I'm going through right now. No, he's going to go, been there, done that. Got the scars for it. He went to Calvary for it. He went to Calvary so that you don't have to. But listen, like I said before, this message is not hard. It's not hard to live. Once you get the one that wrote the Bible inside of you, you get the one that wrote the Bible inside of you and he'll have to live what he wrote or he's a liar. That's why I like that. He's a righteous judge. And then being a righteous judge, he makes me and you a righteous judge. So we don't have to stand in judgment. We stand in judgment, not being judged, as Brother Dale's been preaching. I appreciate that God showed us, even like I said before, all the great mysteries. The prophet of God told us we don't have to go through the tribulation, and we don't have to stand in judgment. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that. I mean, if that's all I got, I'm happy. Because you know what? Go talk to somebody out in the world. Yeah, we got to go through that 7 years of tribulation, man. I don't know how we're going to make it. We got to start buy us a place in Colorado or something. We'll go get us some bullets and get us some of that dried food. Boy, that'd be good. Get us some of that dried food and we're going to try to make it through.
Right.
No! Get born again, you won't have to worry about none of that.
Amen.
You get a free ticket to glory.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. That's what God sent us a prophet for, folks.
And follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day.
I need those warriors to think of the offer that I made them.
Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you love Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Take up your cross when this was placed on their body, Lord.
And
we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Put it over, okay?
Take up your cross every day. Oh, don't be ashamed to say that you know Him.
Don't be ashamed.
Count the cost. Cross and follow Him.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Oh, take up your cross
and follow Jesus.
And follow
Let's sing it one more time.
Jesus.
Anybody have a need?
Oh, take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be afraid.
Just say that. You love Him.
Just
count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him. Oh Lord, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Let's not be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross, oh, and follow Him.
Tell our sister what this is all about. She knows it, Lord.
Take up your cross.
Lord, as we said before, when someone says the word cancer to you, it means nothing. But, Lord, as human beings, there's a little tingle that goes to our spine, Lord, when we hear that dreaded word. But, Father, we know You're the healer, Lord. You're the one, Lord, that told even the prophet of God that not even cancer would stand in His way. Well, You're the same God. You're the same Lord Jesus Christ that will take that away, Lord. We pray, Lord, as our sister places it on her son, Lord, that a mother's love will take over, Lord, and that this person, Lord, will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell him not to fear that.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Every day, don't be afraid to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
You know, before we had a prophet come, that word cancer was a bad word. It instilled fear in people. And as some of them that came up was asked for prayer for Stephen and different ones that have been diagnosed with. When you hear that word cancer, even you can go and be seated. We'll do this and say it. Go and be seated. Even Brother Dick would tell you, he said, it's not a bad word until they tell you you got it. When they told Brother Dick he had prostate cancer, he said it become different. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Cancer is just another word to God. And God sent us a prophet, and look how the angel told him. Y'all can go ahead and be sitting. Okay, you're sitting down. Okay. God told a prophet specifically. He said, nothing will stand in your way. And He said, even cancer. So when Brother Branham would pray, he'd say, you got a cancer. See, when I'll be honest, I'm a human being. When somebody comes up here for prayer or you hear that word cancer, there's a little tingle. I don't care who you are, goes down your spine. There's a little something that you get, this little ache or pain. You have to go to the doctor and you have to go do this. It's always in your mind, that word. But listen, that word no more to God than and, thee, or but, or we, or any other word in the English language. And it's not. Because he told that prophet, he said, not even cancer. Because he knew that maybe that prophet, it being a human, he might have a little issue or a little drawback. He said, no, not even cancer. Don't even worry about that. So that's not going to stand in your way. He said, you call it the way it is, and that's what we've done. We're going to call it the way it is. It's a demon. Right. Nothing man did. Nothing the person did. Now, you may make it more. You smoke all your life, and you might get lung cancer, but that cancer is a demon. It's a devil, a demon that will take and suck your life right out of your body. But we got a God that'll put life back in that body. And he'll take that demon of cancer out of you if you'll just believe it. So don't fear. Brother Brown even preaches, why do we fear cancer? We fear cancer because we see its effect on the people out in the world. But you know, the worst cancer in the world is the one you get inside your heart. The one you get inside your soul. It's called the devil. You get rid of that cancer and you get eternal life. So now we're going to pray that God will take care of the cancer that are attaching itself to our people, that we know, to their bodies, Stephen and different ones. And I know, like I said before, when you say that word, it's tough. But we got a tougher God. Amen. We got a God that's way tougher than that. He knows where that thing come from, and he knows it was allowed for the healing part. It was allowed to come on the earth. But that's okay. We know where it's going. We know that when we leave this world, cancer ain't going with us. When we leave this world, arthritis ain't going. I can't stand Arthur. I hope nobody's name's Arthur. Arthritis. All right, we're going to go over this anniversary meeting. Everybody all right? Amen. Y'all can sit down if you want to. I'm going to give this to Susan because, anyway. I'm going to give this to Sarah. And you got one. Some of y'all should already have this. It was it to me. Oh, hey, Sarah, you got one for Aaron, okay? I'm giving Gabby hers. You're not giving. You got one. I gave you one to begin with. But this is kind of the outline that we're going to go by. If you got a pencil, a piece of paper, or if you want to write on this, you can. This is our anniversary meeting, which